You are listening to an entertainment program put together by a company called Financial Ineptitude. Anything said on this show is not an endorsement or professional advice. Would you really want to tell a court of law you were suing us because you thought taking financial advice from two idiots on a podcast put out by Financial Ineptitude was a good idea? Really? Clown hat, smiley face.
Financial Ineptitude presents Two Bulls in a China Shop. You can find our podcast at twobullsinachinashop.com or just search Two Bulls in a China Shop wherever you stream your podcasts.
Well, hello and welcome to the China Shop. Everyone step in, step in. The doors are wide open. I'm shopkeeper Dan, and with me as always is Kyle, creator of financialineptitude.com. How are you doing today, Kyle?
I'm doing pretty good, other than a little sunburn on the top of my head. I'm just peeling, clogging up the shower. It's disgusting. I hate it when you peel too much time in the sun trying to fix a boat.
Receding hairline problems.
Hey, nobody knows that. Edit that.
You just said you had sunburn on your head. How else does that happen?
Could have been my forehead. Nobody knows.
All right, yeah, Kyle, I'm definitely gonna cut that.
Yeah,
I know. That's as good as cut. That's as good as cut.
I hate getting old.
Oh, come on into the shop with us today, folks. Sit back, relax, rage against the stock market hedge machine. A lot of rage against the hedge machine these days. Well, I've got another one for news, a little tasty story for the news segment. Which,
well, let's go into news.
Is it time for?
Yeah.
All right. Let's get some music going.
Well, we all know why we're listening today. The shop is bursting with the week to replay. So sit back, we got some market affairs. Get some stories for the bulls and the bears. Clowns running companies, laws change overnight. Here we are. It's time for China Shop News. Yeah, now it's time for China Shop News.
I think maybe I should lead off here now that I've teed myself up for that big story.
Okay, go ahead.
Start off on a little bit of fluff. Police in the UK found a pot, what they thought, hey, pot farm, look, we got this big warehouse here. It's a ton of heat, ton of electricity. Get their search warrants from the judge, fucking bust in, expecting to find a giant warehouse full of illegal indoor pot farm, and they found a Bitcoin mining operation with over 100 computers. And the excess heat from the building was the excess heat from the computers. Obviously, the electricity was from it as well. It wasn't all a loss, though. They did arrest the Bitcoin miners because they had tapped into their neighbor's power to fuel the Bitcoin operation.
See, in the U.S., when you get a search warrant for something, like, you can only make arrests for what's listed on that search warrant. So I don't know if that's the same in the U.K., if anybody's familiar with U.K. search and seizure laws.
Yeah.
Wants to jump on our Discord and let us know. But yeah, I'd be curious to know if they've got similar protections in place there.
That's a good question. I am completely ignorant of British. The only thing I know is they wear wigs. So weird to me.
In court. Yeah, that's interesting.
Yeah, that's the end of the story. I just thought it was really funny. They thought they found an indoor pot farm and they found a Bitcoin mine.
God, can you... No drugs here. And then trying to hide the power cords while they're... Oh God, Dan, I think we really need to talk about AMC a little bit more. I know we just did a whole episode on them, but goddamn, what a week that had.
Look, Kyle, AMC hasn't sold a car since the 70s. They're a defunct automaker. Why are we wasting our time talking about them? Right. I know you drive around that little AMC Gremlin that you love.
Are you confusing AMC with GMC?
There literally was a car company, AMC, American Motor Company.
Oh, okay.
They made the Gremlin. It was a big flop, and that was in the 70s. Yeah, I like telling jokes for my dad.
All right. Can we do some actual reporting now?
Did you buy it when it's cheap? Do you ever get that fear that you'll miss out on moves that retail found while Vortex sends its tweets? Are there 8 bombs in your sleeves? Have you no idea it's gonna squeeze? We dreamt about it nearly every night this week. How many stock shares can you keep? Cause there's this tune we found that makes us buy some more somehow, and we play it on repeat until we fall asleep. Green candles up so steep. Do I wanna hold? Cause the price can go both ways. So just buy and hold. Sort of thinking that's the way. Maybe it's all known that the markets, they were made for buying things like AMC day after day. Hedgies, fuck you too. Ever thought of buying?
Oh, AMC went up a little bit this week, I heard.
Yeah, and the crazy thing was, I mean, this was not the squeeze yet. There was the shorts were not covering. I'm looking at the Ortex tweet where they tweet out the updated short interest, and it actually it went up 3%. So let's see, shares borrowed 5.19 million, shares returned 1.23 million. So the change of almost 4 million shares. Cost to borrow has gone up to, it's at about 11%. Not quite the same, you know, 200% we were seeing a couple weeks ago, but still pretty expensive. So there's still a lot of pressure on this stock, and I think in next week's going to be really, really interesting. Part of the reason why we had that kind of fall yesterday when we hit what did we cap out at about 36, and then it kind of fell from there. What we're looking at was, I think, was a gamma squeeze, where as that stock was starting to run away, it was getting into that feedback loop where all these out the money options were getting closer to in the money. So it was actually the market maker that was buying the shares to basically keep their delta neutral position.
Yeah,
I think we talked a little bit about that with Richard Friesen, but I'm sure I can find a link to something that explains that a little bit better than I can here in the next couple of minutes. But the problem is that everybody started selling those calls when they made a shitload of money on them rather than exercising them. That allowed the market makers to start selling off the positions that they had previously hedged for, and then that created a lot of selling pressure.
Yes.
Does that make sense?
That does make sense. Did the short interest increase, though?
Yeah, short interest increased by 3%. So there was still people selling short, opening up more positions on the short side of it. But the most, I don't know that necessarily what we saw was a short attack, or if it was a combination of that and the market makers unwinding their long positions to hedge for the options expiring potential, for like having the inventory to be able to issue them.
It definitely reminded me of GME and the up and down stuff.
Well, the good news is that it looks like there's a lot of open interest coming up next week too, so we're kind of got the same setup.
Oh yeah, love it when there's weekly options.
Oh god, yeah. And they're getting so expensive now, and I really want to start selling some of them, but fuck, I also don't want to miss out on this thing. It does go to the moon. How pissed would you be if you sold off half your shares at like $30 calls for like $200 a piece, and then turn around and have the share price up in the hundreds?
Yeah, I've been doing weekly calls, and I should have sold when it was hitting near its peak. But you know, I got in that euphoria, like seeing gold in them their hills, and was like, I'll just need to sit. I mean, I still made a profit on my options. I'm not crying about a profit. You should never do that. If you made money, it's good. If you made money following your strategy, it's good.
The other interesting thing going on with this AMC, if you don't mind if I keep the floor for a little bit longer here, it's dragging up a lot of other short stocks too, or heavily shorted stocks with it. It's not just AMC. I mean, GameStop was hitting 265 at one point. Virgin Galactic, heavily shorted, was running. Jumia, Bed Bath & Beyond, BlackBerry, BB. I mean, just a ton of these stocks were all...
Nokia started to pop.
Microvision started running again. I think it was up to 18 at one point, when it had been trading around 14 the previous week.
Nice.
So actually, that might make a good poll question, I was thinking too. Besides AMC and GameStop, are you making any plays or bets on any of the other heavily shorted stocks? And then we can give a list of some of those ones I just mentioned as options to choose from.
You know, make sure we leave in an option for no.
Oh yeah, and write your own. So pick the top two and then write your own. Or maybe not just do options, just do yes, no, and then we can ask for comments for which ones you're looking at.
There you go. Sounds good to me.
All right.
Hey, we got a poll question.
All right, good. Check that off the list. I do have another shorted company story.
Oh, yeah?
Recaf. Let me get the actual name of it. Renaissance Energy Africa. This is one of the stocks that one of our Discord users turned us on to back when they were shooting up because one of their oil wells was just discovered to have a whole bunch of reserves. And supposedly they got another one that's supposed to be coming up here soon, like their second well site. Expect to announce results from well 2 in the next 4 weeks. But there's speculation right now that there are a ton of undisclosed short interest.
Oh, undisclosed.
So let's see. Since late November, 86 million shares of the company have been sold short in the U.S. An average of 57.16 of the company's shares traded every day look like they've been sold short. Canada, the number is even larger. Shocking, 113 million shares of the company sold short since May 24 of 2016. That's inferred from short selling average in the stock. The numbers tell me a more surprising story in conjunction with the charts below. The majority of the short positions may have started in the middle of 2020. Okay, so it looks like only 16% are covering each day. So only 16% buying, 16% selling. If that's, that means there's 3.5 times more short selling than covering.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
Right? So you've got a short-term catalyst coming up here in the future. Very heavy short interest on a stock. I think this one's an over-the-counter stock, too, though, so that means there is a fee to trade it on TD Ameritrade, and I don't think you'll be able to get it on, like, Webull, but something to maybe keep an eye on. Okay, here is the other interesting part, too, that I found was in a recent announcement by Recon Africa, the company says that National Geographic is facilitating activist short sellers to destabilize its stock. If true, in our view, this represent a terrifying escalation of aggression by hedge funds. There's also a theory on a stock forum speculating that Canadian-based hedge funds may be the culprits of this distort campaign.
Hmm.
Yeah. National Geographic, according to Recon Africa, is facilitating activist short sellers to destabilize the stock. That's fucking crazy.
That is fucking crazy. I'm looking at it on Ameritrade. Its 52-week high was $8.70. It's sitting at $7.04.
And was hit right after their announcement of the reserves in that first well.
They only have a $1.1 billion market cap. There's only 160 million shares out there. So I feel like if you were an activist hedge fund, couldn't you just buy them?
I mean, not every hedge fund has billions of dollars.
Fair enough. The thing that puzzles me is, Kyle, you're not going to get rid of oil as long as there's a demand for oil. So, like, taking out any particular oil company doesn't solve anything.
No, and there's always going to be a demand for oil until we come up with an alternative to plastics. That's the other thing.
Right. It's not just used as fuel. We use it in everything.
Yeah, we need to stop burning it. But you're not going to get rid of oil.
Right. And there are, we are seeing technological innovation make oil less relevant in all these electric vehicles that are coming out. But those electric vehicles still have a lot of plastics. So oil's not going away.
Plastics, polymers, nylons, all fucking clothing. Like, that shit's used everywhere.
Vote with your dollar in your purchases. If you want oil to go away, do your best to not use any products with oil in it. Good luck.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm not a fan of destroying the planet, but we can't just flip a switch and turn oil off.
Right.
That's not how the world works.
Do you have any more stories?
I've got a few stories, but I have one at least that I definitely want to talk about.
Okay.
Switzerland, that famous European country, famous for banking.
And neutrality.
And their watches.
And knives. And chocolate.
Well, thanks to the Credit Suisse scandal, they are actually currently considering laws that would allow them to punish the bankers and the financial directors.
Oh, wow.
They don't have them. But they're now, for the first time, like, well, maybe we should.
Oh, that's all tied in with the thing that I was talking about with my company, too.
Yes.
And it just keeps getting worse for that. I hadn't really talked too much about it, but I did see that apparently Britain has an office of serious offense or serious fraud.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, that branch is now investigating my company. Let's see, there's another one. In
Greensill?
Yeah. No, not Greensill. Liberty. In conjunction Liberty. With the Greensill deal. Yeah. And then the other, there's another one in Australia that was opening up an investigation too. It was another ministry of like some type of some kind of weird name.
Wow.
But yeah, it's not looking good for my company, so hopefully I'll be not doing that and trading full time here soon.
Right. Oh, yeah, you may have to.
I know.
if the scandal is so big that Switzerland is now going to pass laws that let them punish bankers, we are in uncharted territory. Like, that's, I mean, this is a country that has had these banking traditions since, you know, I don't know, the Middle Ages.
I mean, I guess that's one way to get your name in the history books as a steel magnate. Right. Took down Switzerland's banking ambiguity.
It might not pass, but the fact that they're talking about it to me is incredible.
Yeah.
You know, banking brings in so much to their economy. Their culture is kind of part and parcel with banking. And yeah, just, it's a new era. That's probably enough news stories. I mean, if you want me to keep going.
Well, I got two that I need to get through real quick.
Okay.
I think we should just briefly mention the GameStop NFT project. We posted a link in the Discord. We'll put that story in the description for people to take a look at. One of the things that kind of caught my eye was a theory going on. I think it was on Reddit that they were wanting to, that if GameStop was to issue an NFT token as, is that like saying ATM machine, by the way? If they were to issue an NFT as a special dividend, that would really like completely screw any short sellers, because part of the requirements for when a company issues dividends is that anybody who sold short those shares has to go ahead and issue that dividend to the people who bought their short shares. Because, right, two people technically own that.
Whoa, wait. So
if I borrow your share and I sell it to, say, Jen, okay. So now if the company issues a dividend, they're on the hook to issue the dividends to that shareholder, which is you. But it's also Jen, because it's also been borrowed and sold to Jen, so she's got rights to those dividends as well.
She also needs to get the dividend.
So the person who sold short is now on the hook for paying that dividend.
You have to pay me the value of that dividend.
GameStop would pay you as the original shareholder, and then the short seller, me in this case, would have to pay Jen.
You have to pay Jen.
But because it's an NFT can't be counterfeited or copied. So they have no choice but to buy those shares back in that scenario. Now, I did see something countering that was saying that that scenario is not likely here, at least in the future, because in order to issue dividends, a company has to be profitable for the year, and it did not look like GameStop has met that requirement yet. But that could be something that's coming down the line, so something to keep an eye out. Or there may be some other ways they can work that in to make some interesting pressure on short sellers. Okay, and the last thing I want to go through is watch the, I think it was Michael Kohlglaser on the Virgin Galactic test flight.
Mm-hmm.
It was a quick 5-minute video. I'll post the link to that too. Just talking about how well everything went. I mean, everything executed flawlessly. The interference that they were dealing with that delayed the test flight, the most recent one that was postponed, 100% gone. They still have two more test flights to get through. The second one of those being the one that Richard Branson is supposed to be partaking on, and then there'll be another one after that for, I think, the FAA licenses. I'm paraphrasing, so don't hold me to any of that. But the interesting thing to me, there's two bits that stuck out. The first one being that the timeline they're putting out, that third flight was supposed to be at the end of the summer. So that means they're going to get through three flights here in the next basically 3 months, right?
Yeah.
So that's interesting. And the other interesting thing was that Richard Branson's already undergoing his astronaut training. He's the second flight.
So does that mean that if I'm going to be a passenger, that I have to go through astronaut training?
No, I think it's more because he's 70.
Yeah.
That's part of the beauty of their platform, because they go up into the atmosphere with the plane. They don't have that initial, like, getting through the heavier part of the atmosphere on rocket power. They don't have to deal with nearly as many G-forces and everything else.
You don't have to withstand all the G-force, yeah.
But the fact that Richard Branson's already going through his training on a flight that's coming up second in line makes me think, I wouldn't be surprised if there's another flight in June. So I'll be looking, I think I got some June 18 call options. I might be trying to roll those into July. Because as soon as they announce that, you know, we've seen it before, every time they announce a test flight, the stock goes up. If this flight's successful, it goes up even more.
Well, then, yeah, you're really poised.
Yeah.
Gotta roll them options.
Mm-hmm. Now that wraps up my news.
All right. Well, I feel like anything I say is underwhelming at this point. But it's probably time to move on because we've been talking a lot at your faces. We're just so glad that you're here with us and you stuck around. It's so great having you here and being here in the shop. If you like our show, please let us know by rating and subscribing on your platform of choice. Oh, damn it. Okay, but we do got to close up shop. We love you all. We're coming back next week. This week, we're going to be back with our month-end in review. Find out those bet consequences that I got brewing for Kyle because I've had a lot of time to think about them, folks.
2 months.
A lot of time to stew that one up. and invite your friends along. Shop is always a better time with friends. The more the merrier. There's room for everybody here. You're all welcome. We love it. And until till next time, happy trades.
Bye, folks. Thanks for joining us. You can find us off air at twobullsinachinashop.com. That's the number 2bullsinachinashop.com. Make sure you check us out. Download us on any streaming network, blah, 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 blah. You know what to do. Rate, subscribe.